time today?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, with Mr. Scott here, I will call the meeting to order of the Women Municipal Utilities Commission on this Monday, December 10th at 11:46, according to my iPad. I think it just flipped over, though. Okay, we'll start out with any changes to the meeting agenda. We'll proceed, and I will look at the consent agenda that includes the bill payment and the resolution, the formal resolution, but the bill payments and the meeting minutes from November 26th. Is there a motion to accept that resolution?
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and second for the to accept that resolution. Then I would ask for questions, either on the minutes or on the bills that are listed. And they're pretty routine in their nature this time around. So hearing none, and if you do roll call, please, Beth.
Certainly. Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Thank you, Beth. And then we'll go on to the minutes from December 5th of the Labor Committee, and I'll let Commissioner Weber handle that. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the Labor Committee met on Wednesday, December 5th at 12 p.m. Several items were discussed. We'll start with item number one, which was a review and update of personnel policies. There were several minor changes, mostly title changes, basic wording adjustments. And those are all outlined in your minutes if you'd like to read those. Went on to number two, where there was a 2019 wage adjustment for the cost of living adjustment for the non-union personnel or our staff here. So it was recommended that we stick with and follow along with the union contract, which would be a 2.75 increase. And then it was voted on by the Labor Committee to recommend the 2.75 increase for staff. We went on to talk about the general manager's year-end review. That was on the agenda as well. However, we talked about his 2018 goals and his accomplishments so far in 2018. We also went over his expectations and goals for 2019. There was a request for a step increase. However, that was not any action taken on that pending a performance review that has been pushed out to the entire commission, which will be compiled at a future date, and then the commission will revisit that. And the Labor Committee will come up with a recommendation for a step increase for the general manager at the next meeting. Number four, we did another self-evaluation, and a lot of time was spent on results and the discussion there. In general, our survey results did improve from the first one. However, we thought there were some items that could use some additional actions or things to put in place to make it even more of an improvement. So a lot of discussion was how we proceed doing that. One idea was to schedule a work session, or we could summarize results and send it out to you in a document, however you'd like to proceed. I guess the committee would like to schedule a work session. So any feedback on that would be appreciated. After that, we adjourned at 1:48 p.m. And so we have, I believe, two motions and a resolution to approve. So I would submit for as a motion to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Yep. So moved.
He moved in your second?
Second, yes.
Yes, okay.
Second.
Okay, and again, we'll talk about that a little bit further. Any further discussion on that? Just know that by the recommendation of the Labor Committee is that we would have a work session. Is anyone opposed to that? Otherwise, we will accept that resolution as part of these minutes as well. Hearing none, all in favor of the motion to accept the minutes from the December 5th Labor Committee meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. Then the next piece in there, as listed on the agenda, is to the revision of all the policies. And there were several in there. So again, I would entertain a motion to accept those revisions with allowing us time for questions. I'm going to get to that point after the motion and second. So is there a motion to accept the revision to the personnel policies?
I will make that motion.
Okay.
Second.
Motion made and second. Discussion.
Madam Chair, if I could have Janelle Johnson point out one change that the Labor Committee requested staff follow up on, I think it would be appropriate at this time.
I left my document with Nate, but there was one question under discipline. In the policy, it was noted that an employee was noted as a regular employee, and we wanted that defined. And the regular employee was defined as an employee who has completed the training period. And so that was made, change was made within the policy, and the update was on your iPads. And that did come from Maggie Penlin, our legal counsel. And I spoke with her about 11:15, we got that finalized.
Thank you, Janelle.
Okay. Any other questions on those policies? Because they'll come back at me.
Anything that you feel that where there was a big change in any of these that you would like to point out for us?
No, I think the biggest changes came within the personnel policy, just getting things in line, which we had our legal counsel do that portion of it from lessons learned last year. And then throughout the rest of the policies, most of them were routine, and the biggest change would be title changes because we have had employees shift around in positions and stuff.
Okay. Anybody that looks through the personnel policy or all these changes that had any specific questions? Anything from your, you've already talked about that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Hearing no questions on that, all in favor signify aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. Okay, then the next item is that was brought forward through the Labor Committee was the approval of the non-union wage adjustment, and again, that does require a resolution to that effect, following the recommendation from the Labor Committee. So I just need a motion to accept that resolution for that change.
Yeah, I'll make that.
Okay, is there a second to that?
Second.
That motion to accept that resolution for the non-union wage adjustment has been made. A discussion. Anything that?
I just want to point out that there will be, the Labor Committee will also revisit the cost of living adjustment for general manager as well. We'll be coming to the full commission with a recommendation in the future.
And as we've done in the past, is, you know, the input is from commissioners for that, not necessarily for the wage adjustment for that, but for that review.
Correct.
Commissioner Mattern.
Thank you, Madam President. Just to clarify then on Commissioner Weber's comment, was that on the COLA adjustment for the general manager or the step adjustment?
Step adjustment.
Okay, just wanted clarification. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no other questions, roll call, please, Beth.
Commissioner McDonald?
Aye.
Lammer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabu?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Okay, thank you, Beth. Commissioners? All right, let's go to the power supply report, and our manager, Chris Carlson, to give us a report on that. Thank you.
Okay, so the new power supply report will be presented in cents per kilowatt hour rather than dollars per kilowatt hour to make it more understandable and relatable with everyone's home utility bill. It includes all fixed and overhead costs for the power plant and the power supply departments. Each month represents all costs that were booked to that particular month in the general ledger. There will be times when an invoice has not been received and the month has been closed, so it will be booked to the next month. For example, in May, the LIFI charge is missing, and so it doubles up in June. Waiting for an invoice delays the month-end process, and consequently the financial reporting for the commission meeting. So we will work hard to keep costs booked to the correct month as much as we can. June has an exceptionally high cost, not only because it includes May WIFI charges, but also it includes the MRAS buy-in and the purchase of extra capacity that was needed for the 2018-2019 planning year. Also, the power supply report will be presented at the second commission meeting each month following the financial report. So, looking at the graph, the blue bar is the total cost for the month divided by the total number of kilowatt hours purchased and generated. The red line takes the total cost year to date divided by the total kilowatt hours purchased and generated year to date. So the power supply cost for October was 4.6 cents per kilowatt hour, and the year-to-date overall cost was 6.6 cents per kilowatt hour. Does the commission have any questions on this?
I don't think so. There is, and I appreciate that, especially now that we got the costs and got that all squared around, so it's a more accurate picture, I think, of what it costs. Again, that as for our information, there's no motion or anything needed on that. Just if there's questions from any of the commissioners. Okay. Hearing for that, we'll move on to the bid award recommendation. Some detail there from Engineer Smith.
Thanks, Madam President. If I may, I'll just start with a brief overview of our load control system upgrade. Load control is a way that we try to maximize the efficiency of our system. So we place a device at the customer's load, most likely the AC or the water heater, and we're able to control that so that it runs in organization with other loads on the system, so we can really maximize our efficiency. This comes important as we become members of Missouri River because they do charge us on a peak monthly demand, and so as we're able to spread that load out more and not hit a high peak, it really gives us an advantage. Our existing load control system is run by a pager system, so the communications, it sends out a signal, much like the doctors used to wear a pager on their belt. It receives that signal over the airwaves. That only allows one-way communication, so we don't have feedback on whether that device is actually working in the field. And so with the infrastructure that we have in place for our meter reading system, we've already got the communications backbone set up. And so if we upgrade our end devices on the customer's home, we're able to get that feedback of whether or not that's working. So we've got a two-year project. It's listed here for $928,000. It already began last summer. We were able to purchase 160 load control modules and get those installed, and that was kind of a trial period to make sure that they work out the bugs, things like that. And then on November 20th, we released specifications for a changeout of a much more mass quantity, 2,300 load control modules. We received the bids on that project on December 4th. There was only one bid. It was from King's Electric. They happen to be the electrician that we worked with for the 160 this summer. So we've got good experience with them. They perform quality work, and we've got no concerns awarding this project to King's Electric. With that said, I would recommend that we award this project, the 2018 load control module replacement, to King's Electric for the tabulated price of $199,300. And when I say tabulated, that includes the unit pricing for changing out 2,300 load control modules, but we expect that there'll be some troubleshooting or maintenance calls, and we've got prices on that as well in the bid. So with that, I would open to any questions.
Commissioner Mattern?
Thank you, Mayor.
Jaren, we got one bid response. How many bid requests were put out in total?
We sent out three packages, and I believe two more people asked for the packages, so I believe it was five total people had the specs in their hands.
Did you hear back from anybody else as to why they didn't respond then?
One electrician said he didn't have the manpower, and I hadn't heard from any of the other ones.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Mattern, in addition to what was directly sent out, we posted it in the paper as well so that we would hit all potential contractors out there, so.
Any other questions of Mr. Smith? Okay.
These are just replacing modules we already have out there?
That's correct.
Okay, so it's not adding new equipment to the system?
No, in the program, which Kevin will probably touch on here too, is that part of this system upgrade, we do hope to increase our participation number to get more customers on the program, but this specific contract is only to replace those 2,300 existing devices.
If everybody replaced, how many modules would we need, do you know? About 10,000?
If we had each of our customers who were eligible on the program, yeah, it would be over 10,000, I would guess.
Okay. I'll make that resolution to accept the bid award recommendation and look for a second.
Second.
Any further questions regarding the load control module replacement bid? Hearing none, roll call, please, Beth.
Commissioner Lammer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Maboo?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
And that resolution passes. Thank you, Beth. And then we'll go on to our facilities maintenance supervisor, Mr. Murray, and let him talk about the load control module purchase.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What we're looking for here is approval of our purchase order number 10432 to our vendor, Corin Maine, out of Eden Prairie. This purchase order is for 1,800 load control modules needed for the project that Jaren just talked about. You noticed that you were off by 500 load control modules. We actually previously had received those, and you just paid the bill about 10 minutes ago, so I appreciate that. So this 1,800 will be the balance of the 2,300, and there is a substantial lead time on these units, currently at 12 weeks. So they have a handful on hand that we are going to grab, hopefully, and then we'll split up the order so they'll stagger and come in throughout the year as the electrician is needing them. So basically, we're looking for the approval of the PO since it's over the limit. Total of this purchase order is $394,368.75, and this is part of the scheduled capital improvement project for load control module replacement.
And because it'll come in 2019, that's why it's scheduled in the capital improvements for 19, correct? And along that line, are we hoping to be getting more of these people online, or is there any work that's going to be done along that line?
There actually will be a pretty good push once we get a position filled with marketing, and I believe John's goal is to double what we have out there now, so upwards of 4,000 to 5,000 people we'd like to see on the program. So throughout the next few years, we would anticipate installing more new installs.
Yeah. How long does it, do you have any idea how long it takes to just, out of curiosity, installing those? Just like, say, for one customer to...
Yeah, if it's a direct change, it's about
2 minutes. Okay, just that was just a curiosity question. Okay, so I would look for, again, the motion to accept this resolution for the load control module purchase.
I'll make the resolution.
Second.
Okay, that resolution has been made. Are there any further questions? Commissioner Matter.
Thank you, Madam President. Kevin, looking at the price of these, we're a little over $200 a unit. Am I correct in the math on that?
Correct.
Is that about what we were expecting, or is any price change now?
It's gone up by about, I want to say about $10.
Okay.
From the previous order.
And what's the expected time frame for the ROI once these are installed?
I don't have that.
I can take that, Kevin. Commissioner Matter. The ROI on that, as noted here and as Commissioner DeBleek asked, what are we purchasing now? We're purchasing now to replace, and as Kevin alluded to, we want to put a push on to double up, if not even, get to, 150% of what we have today. There's significant savings on there. As an example, 4 months, we are going to be paying a demand fee of about 21, and if we can get 6,000 megawatts on load control, we control 50% at a time, so you're controlling 300, we're looking at $60,000-$70,000 a month savings. So once we get there, once we get up and running, the ROI on that is probably 3 to 4 years.
Thank you.
Other questions?
I do have one for you, Chris. Is this part of the $928,000 estimate for the project?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay.
How long have the previous load control units been in operation?
I believe they were installed between 2000 and 2003. They really put a push to install the program.
Hopefully last a while. That's good.
Other questions? Get signed up. Get those people signed up. Okay. Beth, roll call, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Beth. And thank you, Kevin, for that report, and you also, Jaron, for the report on that. Next on the agenda is our wind turbine report, and we'll let Mr. Marty go with that one.
Thank you, Madam Chair, again. As you can see, we had a decent month. Both units turning out 628,416 kilowatt hours. Turbine number 4 was at 100% availability for the month, and turbine number 3 slightly underperformed at 99%. altogether, though, the both units had a fantastic month and helped us chip away at the deficit, as you see on the following page. We're still a little bit behind, about 1.5 million kilowatt hours for the year, so hoping for an incredibly windy December.
Don't say that too loud. Once northwest wind.
Warm winds, south winds. Entertain any questions if you had them. Otherwise, it was a fairly quiet month.
I don't think so. Has anybody gotten calls about turbines not running or anything like that there? Okay. Then we're good to go. Thank you very much for that report. So let's hope they keep going and give us some additional kilowatts there. Okay, then let's us have our power supply manager, Ms. Carlson, give us a report on the Missouri River rates.
Each year, following the MRES area meetings, members receive the updated rate Schedule B, the power supply rates, and the Schedule C, the transmission rates, based on the next year's budget. As a reminder, MRES will begin billing WMU for power supply and transmission on their July 2019 billing, beginning with the June 1st transactions. Schedule B, the MRES power supply rate, will decrease from 5.9 cents per kilowatt hour in 2018 down to 5.8 cents per kilowatt hour. Of course, we haven't paid any of those rates because we are officially in MRES's voice support. Schedule C charges are for S1 transmission rates. MRES passes through all transmission charges and revenues from MISO and GRE. Transmission charges are calculated by MISO using the attachment O's from all transmission owners, so rates can change throughout the year, so there's no control over that. MRES does not charge anything extra on their transmission charges. Questions?
Madam Chair, I'd like to point out on if you scroll to the second page of that document is where the rates are listed, and you can see, you know, I alluded to a little bit earlier when we're talking about load control modules, you know, $20. Our summer charges, demand charges will be 21. January, February, December will be 16, and then all other months are at 1050. So as we transition over to Missouri River and our power supply contracts expire, those would be the rates that we would be paying. And then energy is right below that at 3.15 cents, so.
Six. Okay. Calculation there by talking to myself. Any questions from anyone here regarding this? Be advantageous again for us. Okay. Again, that was for our information at this time.
It's for information, as Chris alluded to, starting June 1st, Missouri River will be supplying us with the 5 megawatt of power that we typically put out over at the power plant, as well as our off-peak power, which is weekends, holidays, and evenings. So that's what, as June 1st comes, that's Missouri River will be making up that incremental difference between our power supply contracts and those pieces.
Okay. Thank you very much. Hearing no other questions.
Question on, as we transfer over the Missouri River with our WAPA power, is there any changes that happens there as far as how it's managed or dispatched? Or?
Well, depending on how you're asking that question, no, our power supply won't change. It'll just be scheduled through Missouri River.
Okay, they'll do the scheduling of it?
Yep. Otherwise, there's no change to it.
Okay.
Thank you.
And of course, the next item kind of fits into that, so we'll go on to that. Chris, if you would, please.
Yes, okay. The draft facilities assignment agreement has been on hold for the past 4 months, pending MISO legal review on whether WMU could retain its TO status while assigning transmission facilities to MRES. It was confirmed on December 3rd that we can, in fact, have that kind of an arrangement, and WMU will be the first transmission owner in MISO to have such an agreement. Once that was confirmed, we made the necessary edits to the facilities assignment agreement and have sent that on to MRES, along with the list of the WMU transmission facilities, also known as the transmission assets, Exhibit A. And MRES will clean up the documents. What you see are in the draft are draft documents for informational purposes. We hope to receive an executable document before the end of the month, which should be signed by the commission chair. Once this has been executed, MRES will be the main point of contact for MISO in regards to transmission.
Any questions on that? And this is, again, this is a draft where there's some, until we get the final one, that this will not get signed. And this is for information when we want to get ready to sign the final outcome before the full commission again then, or not?
I believe that's necessary.
Okay, once the drafts are put in, and because there's been legal review done in a couple different spots, and because that would be my concern.
Madam Chair, we'd like to have this executed by union. That's why we presented to the commission as a draft. As Chris alluded to, we've been working on this agreement for almost 4 months, 5 months, and the holdup was through MISO. As this is a new form of arrangements between joint action agencies and utilities, being that we are already a transmission owner. So, and recognized in MISO as a owner. So that's what took some time for MISO to look through it and understand the arrangements that we will have with Missouri River, in turn, their arrangements with Missouri River representing us. So that's where we are today. So we want to wrap that up, and we'll be asking Commissioner Amar to execute that once we receive the final draft back from Missouri River.
Zach, I know you have a question.
Yeah, since you put the 2018, so that's when you're going to insert the date on this document, you know, when?
Yes, Commissioner Mabu, once we are ready to sign, we'll be filling in those dates, hopefully for year end, at let's say 2018, otherwise it'll be January of 19. But we anticipate having this executed before the end of the year.
Nice. And what do you mean? It says the Missouri River Energy, a body corporate and politic? Is that, what does that mean, the politic?
That's a good question. I have to follow up. See if there's a typo there. No, that's correct. We'll follow up on that and make sure.
Capacity
agreement, and it says exactly
the same thing, a body corporate and politic organized under Chapter 28E of the Code of Iowa and existing under the
Intergovernmental Cooperation Statutes of the States of Iowa, Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota.
So it's correct.
It must
be their way of... Oh. Following the rules according to what the rules are of those states. Okay. I wonder if that follow. It doesn't say subdivision, but I know that if you work with the government, you know, it's always called a political subdivision if you're doing bids and that type of thing.
I see.
If it falls under that same category, I can't say that for sure, but that's what I would wonder, if that isn't right where it is. It's illegal.
Okay.
So again, that would, it's not listed that we need a motion or anything to accept this. It's just for our information that this agreement is coming up, and if there was questions from any of the commissioners on it.
Madam Chair, it's actually probably one of our last agreements that we have left. Are you aware of others yet, Chris? I know there's one more for sure, but we almost have them all executed.
The main one?
Yeah.
We have the JPZ that we need to do. That's with GRE, the Joint Pricing Zone. And basically right now, we are listed as the utility, but we're going to have it changed so that we're still listed, but we are listed under MRES. Because MRES will be taking over all transmission activities, which also includes the billing of. So all of those charges will go through MRES, and then will come through to Wilmer with no price adjustment or increase.
Additional charges on it. Handling charges or otherwise. Okay. Everybody okay with that? Any other questions on it? And I'm sure if you do, just give Manager Heron a call if there are questions on it that we would need to ask about. Sure.
I'm just looking at the S1 agreement, and it says exactly the same thing for Missouri Basin Municipal Power Agency as the body corporate, politic, blah, blah, blah. And then Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency is a municipal corporation and political subdivision.
So it does fall.
Yeah. So I think each MRES and WMMPA are always listed the same way, just like we have listed Wilmer Municipal Utilities the same way, where it says that we are, we also are listed as the City of Wilmer Utilities Commission, City of Wilmer, Minnesota, a municipal corporation of the state of Minnesota, by and through the Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission municipality. And we've made sure that all of our agreements say that about us. And I'm sure MRES and WMMPA does exactly the same thing.
Because of that. Legalese. Right. Okay, hearing no other questions, then we'll move on to the educational department update there. And we'll start out with Mr. Marty again, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have the facilities and maintenance department year in review. It's the first item. And starting out with the projects of note that we completed or are still active during 2018. One big change for the department is we added two new members to the department that were transitioned from the power plant, Nick and Errol, and that has gone very well. We transitioned the diesel generator maintenance to the department. Along with inside the diesel generator world this summer, we worked with Ziegler Cat on a cooling system contamination issue and then reflushed the diesel generators in July and took care of that. We performed, our staff performed monthly inspections with the current contractor that we use, and we anticipate moving forward in 2019 actually doing those inspections in-house rather than an outside contractor. The NESHAP upgrades to the generators were completed, and full credit for that project goes to the engineering department. It just happened, so I mentioned it. So. And then we have scheduled annual maintenance services with Ziegler. Actually, the week of the 17th coming up, they'll be in town for a few days doing the annual services to those units. We also transit substation maintenance and monthly checks to the department and did a fencing repair at the Southwest substation. Had some frost movement down there. Otherwise, the year was sort of quiet at the substations. The wind turbine maintenance was also transitioned to the department and was fairly active with this year with DeWin USA being dissolved. We had to do some research and to assist us with our wind turbines. We eventually started a relationship with Olympia Renewables in Guymon, Oklahoma. Olympia is actually providing our staff with parts and then diagnostic support as we need it, and that's gone very well. We were able to find and replace the hydraulic pitch control parts that brought turbine number 4 back online after 4 months earlier in the year. We completed our annual and semi-annual maintenance in-house this year. And then we hired Wanza Construction out of Fargo. They did our initial blade inspections and then came back and did the structural blade repairs to both turbines. And as mentioned previously, they'll be back in the spring to do the cosmetic repairs to both units. We continued working with the city and planning for downtown streetlight replacement. We've met with the downtown group and the city a couple of different occasions, and then we'll be presenting our street lighting options to the City Council work session next Monday, the 17th. Capital improvement projects for the year was fairly quiet in the department. The new Wilmer Municipal Utilities building project, we met with the city a couple of different times and had a joint commission and city council meeting, and was decided coming out of that meeting to move forward separately at this time. No further work was done on the building project during 2018, and for 2019, the land purchase and initial design are budgeted for that project. As far as vehicles and equipment purchases, once again, was a fairly quiet year. The only vehicle that is being in process is the replacement of the Digger Derrick truck for the line department. That truck is actually being assembled as we speak, and anticipate that truck will be here, we're hoping, in January. And our line department supervisor, Todd Graves, is actually going to give a final report when he does his report after the first of the year. And we'll find out how we did cost versus budget on that project. And then the only other purchases were cable pulling equipment and an infrared camera for the line department. And both of those items came in right at budget. So in summary, it was a pretty active year and a year of change, I guess, with two additional staff transitioning the diesel generators, substations, and wind turbine duties to the department. We were able to complete our routine monthly work as well as tackle a large portion of a task list that had fallen behind while being a department of one. Projects of note include grounds maintenance, particularly tree planting and trimming throughout the year, and completing all the tasks from the annual safety inspections, something we have not been able to do the last couple of years. I'll finish by saying that I'm proud of the way that the guys came together and tackled their projects throughout the year. Their work ethic and pride in their work is evident on a daily basis, and I look forward to what lies ahead. Certainly answer any questions on facilities and maintenance if you have them. Otherwise, I can jump right into the power plant if you so wish.
Just one question. Well, you say that we're taking that annual maintenance in-house, and Ziegler Cat is okay with that?
Actually, Ziegler Cat will be performing the annual maintenance, like the oil changes and filters and those sorts of things. We don't have the equipment to do that. What we're bringing in-house is the monthly inspections. We currently had a contractor that would come in, run the units, check the fluid levels, test the batteries, check the fuel, all that sort of thing. And that's something that our staff is more than capable of doing.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I don't have any other questions. Anybody else? Okay. Hearing none, I'd like to continue on.
Okay. The power plant for 2018. Again, it was a fairly active year for staffing at the plant. We ended 2018 with 7 full-time operating and maintenance staff. down from 15 at the beginning of the year. Three of those people, full-time employees, transitioned to other departments within the utility. We had the remaining staff did a fine job in stepping forward to fill open positions, including two of our individuals there were able to obtain their provisional boilers licenses. We're also awarded a provisional boiler license for the power plant by the state to allow these guys to operate under a provisional license. The mobile boiler consumed a great deal of our time and energy at the power plant this year. We started early in the year with a staff discussion on how to economically support the district heating system and then have an adequate backup outside of boiler three due to staffing levels. And then we investigated and installed a 650 horsepower mobile boiler this summer and late fall. We're currently operating on that mobile boiler with our package boiler number four as the backup, and then boiler three is for capacity purposes only. The coal supply, if you are a watcher of the coal pile, you'll notice that it is about just under half of it what it was a couple weeks ago. We requested bids and sold the coal inventory to Lorenz Manufacturing in Benson, and they are taking out about 5 to 6 loads per day. We anticipate that the coal pile will no longer be here with us at the end of the year. Plant maintenance and winterizing. The staff went through the plant and winterized and kind of tightened things up just to keep the warm air basically inside to keep the plant from freezing up, being that we're running on the mobile boiler where we, in years past on boiler number three, there was enough ambient heat to heat the building with the inefficiencies it had. As I mentioned before, the diesel generators and the wind turbines were transitioned to the facilities and maintenance department, and there were no capital improvement projects for the plant in 2018. So in review, 2018 proved to be a challenging year with the transition of power plant staff and duties away from the plant. The remaining plant staff deserves appreciation and kudos for their willingness to step up into leadership roles as well as train to become operators to cover shifts. I am confident that we'll be able to continue to operate the plant as required until its future is determined beyond the discontinuation of the district heat in July of 2020. I would certainly entertain questions about the power plant if you have them.
If you would just convey to the staff as well, because I think they have stepped up and kept things going, so if you just convey our thank you to those staff as well from the commission that they didn't all raise their hands up and run or anything like that, that they kept on and carrying on. So if you would please share that.
I think it's been quite a challenge if you try and imagine yourself in their shoes with an uncertain future, and the folks that have stuck around and helped out deserve that. So
please share that with them. Any other questions for Mr. Murray on that? And I said education, I should have said departmental update. You are educating us and do appreciate that. Okay, then we'll go to the favorite department of everyone, IT there, and we'll let our systems manager, Mr. Sampson, give us an education on that with his update, please.
Good afternoon. Here's the bird's eye view of the Information Technology Department. It's been a busy year. One area that it wasn't so busy was the capital items. It was a down year in that regard because we didn't replace any hardware such as servers or firewalls or storage. And that's simply just because that's all on a 5-year cycle and we're just out of cycle right now. And the next refresh would be 2020 for some of those items. Another thing is the credit card chip readers. That was done back in March. And after months of waiting, and I say waiting because I think that was September of 2017 that was supposed to be put into place. And our software vendor and the credit card vendor were going back and forth, but we finally got that put in to production at the end of March, I believe it was. And then, after many tears by most of the employees, our beloved AS400 was shut down for good and taken away by our AS400 provider. And we had the penetration test early last year, and as I reported back on May 14th, we had no entry points or high vulnerabilities. And if there's any questions on that, I can answer those. And kind of out of the pen test and a NISC convention, we got hooked up with the Department of Homeland Security, and I signed up with them in June because they offer free pen testing, among other things. They do have a 12 to 18 month waiting period, and they do give us a 60 day notice before they would start that. And as of this morning, I have not heard from them. One of the more fun things I think we did this year was started a security awareness program, and we partnered with a company called Know Before, and their program allows us to send phishing emails to all the employees as well as you commissioners. And based on those results, if you click on something you shouldn't, you get put into a training module to kind of show you what you did wrong or what things you could look for so you don't do it again. And this was started in June, but it's still kind of in its infancy. It's not where I want to see it. I'd like to see it a much bigger presence. Even what we've done so far has caused some conversation, we'll say that.
There's more to that story I can tell, but that's all right. We won't ask about
that. Just people that didn't think some things were fair, but that's how the real world operates. And then 2019, our original NISC servers will be 5 years old, and currently I'm looking into some pros and cons of keeping it hosted here at MUC or having NISC host it for us. And if we do keep it in-house, I would switch that over to virtualized servers, and that would result in us having to kind of beef up our current storage system and a server. So when I said before that the next refresh would be 2020, some of that stuff would probably be refreshed this coming year, just for the simple fact I wouldn't want to stick money into an aging system. And that's all I have. I'll take questions if anybody has any.
Well, I'll look at Commissioner Mattern if he has any from my standpoint.
That's good.
The whole security thing is always challenging out there to keep that up to date as best we can. Again, if there's no questions, thank you very much for the update for the education on that. Okay, and we're getting down towards the end. We'll review the Missouri River update that we usually have, and we'll turn that over to General Manager Heron, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the packet is both a written and also up on the screen is the video of the summary of the board meeting. So if I can ask Stacy to go into the video, and then if there's questions after that, we can field those questions.
Welcome to our summary of the November meeting of the Missouri River Energy Services and Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency Boards of Directors. On Wednesday, November 7th, the day before the meeting, the boards toured the Watertown Power Plant in Watertown, South Dakota, and viewed a presentation that outlined the plant's story history. The Watertown Power Plant was placed into commercial operation in late 1979 and was the first generating facility developed by Western Minnesota and Missouri River. While the plant has been operated only on rare occasions when peaking power was needed, it played a key role in gaining Missouri River access into the Mid-Continent Area Power Pool, or MAP, the region's first reliability organization. Today, the plant is part of a capacity sale to Basin Electric Power Cooperative through 2035. As such, the board soon will consider authorizing needed upgrades and repairs. The actual board meeting took place November 8th, also in Watertown. The first new business item dealt with funding options for upgrades to transmission facilities in Minnesota. The independent system operator, or MISO, ordered the upgrades to about 24 miles of 115 kilovolt line owned by Western Minnesota. The line extends from Ortonville to Johnson Junction in Western Minnesota. The line is needed to accommodate two grid generation interconnection requests. The boards considered funding options for the project and ultimately passed resolutions that will require the wind generation owners to provide upfront funding. Next, Missouri River staff presented 2019 targets for performance indicators. The performance indicators measure progress on Missouri River's 8 long-term strategic goals. The board approved the targets, spurred by an ever-growing need for organizations to be prepared for possible emergencies or disasters. Missouri River staff has developed a draft crisis communications plan. This plan is designed to help Missouri River quickly prepare messages and communicate with internal and external audiences, including the media, during a crisis. In addition to formulating a crisis communication team, the document outlines general procedures as well as message maps for several possible crisis scenarios. The board reviewed the plan and, once suggested edits and additions are made, is expected to consider approval at its December meeting. Next, the board reviewed state and federal results of the November 6th election. Missouri River's Director of Legislative and Governmental Relations, Deb Bergen, and federal auditor, Marty Kanner of Kanner & Associates, presented a report and analysis of these results. In addition to some changes in leadership and majority control at both the federal and some state governmental bodies, certain ballot issues also could have effects going forward. Bergen will continue to update the board and members on the status of legislative issues through the state legislative newsletter. Finally, the board is going to report on the Integrated Resource Planning, or IRP, process, which helps Missouri River determine least cost options for power supply. The IRP topic will receive further discussion at future meetings. Thank you for joining us, and please remember to tune in again next month as we take a look at activities and actions of the December board meeting.
Okay, comments and questions that anyone has for Mr. Aaron? Okay, just one little comment there where she talked about the elections. I was just last week to the MMUA state meeting, and our legislative topics or those types of things for 2019 were presented there, and I'm just going to put that in a written report of those topics to be handed out with the minutes from this meeting rather than going over them verbally here. Again, just to keep people aware of that from the board meeting. Okay, then we'll move on to the general manager's report, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple items of noteworthiness here would be the first, the Labor Committee. We'll be setting that meeting up, so please watch for that to discuss step increase for general manager, as well as review feedback from all the commissioners that's being solicited right now. In addition to that, we'll also be pushing out a calendar invite for commission work session to talk about the commission's own self-evaluation. And then on Friday this week, we got our safety award luncheon. So everyone's invited to attend that. We welcome your attendance. And then our next regular meeting, keep in mind, it will be December 26th. It will be changed from Monday to Wednesday, as Monday's the day before Christmas. So any further questions?
Okay, and by the 26th, we'll all be ready for a little break from activities. anything else to come before the commission today? Any other questions, anything? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, everyone. Have a nice afternoon.
Yeah, I forgot to say, but that's why I can say it after